So, Marie-Angelique, while we're waiting for Austin to join, I think he just had to install the Zoom tool, he said.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. So you're.
I think forever. I mean,
What's that?
we can use Skype if you prefer.
Oh, I think he's fine. I think it'll just be a minute. He just said he had to download it. So, but in the meantime, maybe we won't start this. So are you kind of already there? There's Austin.
Hello, Austin.
He's looking at us with a funny face.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you. Getting some kind of feedback, I think. Hey, Austin, can you say something so we can see if we can hear you?
Oh, dang.
Is your microphone on your
Hello?
desk?
Anyway, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Can see you
Okay.
and hear you.
All right. Got it.
Okay. Good. There's some kind of feedback going on. Are you at your desk?
Yeah.
Maybe the microphone on your computer is on, like your desktop?
I'm using my desktop.
Oh, you're using a desktop. Okay, well, we could mute your mic. Oh, we lost you.
Yeah.
Oh,
Connection.
my gosh. Okay. Okay, well, in the meantime, while he reconnects, any updates from there? I was looking over the notes from, oh, there's Austin again. Hi again. Can you hear Austin?
Apparently not.
You know what? Maybe it would help if we turned off our video feeds. Because
Okay,
I'm on Wi-Fi too, so.
can you turn
Yeah, so
off
I
mine?
turned off mine.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Austin, can you hear? Okay, his mic is muted. So, Marie-Angelique has the protege up, and she's gonna show us how to load both of the OWL ontologies at the same time and give us a little overview. And before we get into that, is there any updates from your end, Marie-Angelique, that you
So,
wanna?
yeah,
Can't hear
I
you.
work on the
Sorry,
mapping.
guys.
Oh, sorry.
I thought
Yeah,
Austin.
I think he was saying something. I don't know if he was talking to
Yeah,
somebody.
so I work on the mapping and I put a slide on GitHub.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's the formal definition. I can show you. That's why my protege was open before.
Okay.
Can
This
you
is
see my screen?
a cross-product file.
Yeah, can you see my screen now?
Yes, I can. I can see your Skype. Yes. Okay,
Yeah.
good.
So let me. Yeah, so I just work with the file that we have. And yeah, I created a formal definition. So look, this is a flat list of the term. So I'm using the PAYTO term and the PO term, but I have some issue to import them. So that's why it's not totally working, but I will solve that.
Okay.
And if you use a reasoner, you can see all the classes, I mean, that are equivalent in several ontologies. So for example, for cariopsid length is equivalent to pod length, seed length, grain length, pod size, pod length.
Pretty close. I mean, I don't know if I would include seed length in there, but we're getting closer, yeah.
Yeah,
And
that's
that's
probably
probably
because
an issue that's in the trait ontology.
yes, and
Yeah.
not I didn't use trait ontology. I use on only plant ontology and PAYTO.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But maybe the version of the file I use for plant ontology is not up to date because that I was not able to import directly for the live from the live version the file. So
So the one you should be using is the one that's on GitHub.
yeah, I know, but I
So
cannot use that directly and say go on, yeah, use the file
how
in GitHub. Because it doesn't work. Because it's not, you don't have only the file. You have all the GitHub, some GitHub stuff.
So the OWL version of the PO is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And what's wrong with it?
Yeah, so look, if I say I want to open a file from a new URL, I want to use it, okay? And I use, for example...
Oh, the URIs need to be updated.
Yeah, exactly. Because if I'm using this GitHub stuff, it doesn't.
Get in.
So if I click OK, and then I will get some error message. So you see saying that the syntax is not correct, but the syntax is OK. It's just that it's not only an ORF file or an RDF file. So that's why.
Expecting RDF element.
Yeah, that's the error that you get. But
so this is the NCBI file.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same with all the files that are on GitHub, basically.
Okay, so we need to look into this. So, Marie-Angelique, have you, maybe what you need to do is load them from the Oboe Foundry Perls. And those were just in the process of updating.
Okay.
So I'll look into this, and I'll talk with Justin Elser about it.
Okay.
So when I was working in Protégé yesterday, I was actually just loading them from my computer because I have the repos on my hard drive.
Yeah.
So I wasn't actually using the URLs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's better to use the URIs because you know that the file is always up to date.
Right. Right. That's sort of the idea.
To refresh GitHub and say, okay, so look
for right. Right. Okay, so let's move on past that detail and...
Okay, and so I work on the mapping file, and this is the patterns that I use. Mm-hmm. I say that a plant trait, because I reuse what Chris done with a file that was named traitxp.org.
Yes, so cross-product file, yeah.
Yeah, so he use the properties that his name affect quality, and he attach a PATO term to that, and occurs in, and he use a PO term.
Okay.
So I use that pattern, but that pattern fits only the simple traits. So, for example, if I have a KB, a compound, chemical compound or something, doesn't fit these definitions, I have to create more different definitions.
Right. And you may find some that have a go as the term as the entity too.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. And also, I mean, for the diseases, we need also a different pattern saying that a disease is a plant threat, can be a plant threat. That yeah.
Yeah.
So link to the pathogen. So
you're using the PO and the PATO.
Yeah.
But are you looking at, these terms like pod length, that's coming from one of the CO ontologies?
Yes. So
right. Yes. And how many of the crop ontology vocabularies are you looking at? Are you doing them one by one or?
No, can you see my screen?
Yes.
So I wrote down some Java code.
Uh-huh.
So I created the file, and I for now I work with the file that was created. So I have chickpea, lentil, rice, cassava, wheat, soybean, groundnut, coffee, and pigeon pea. And so I load this file for all the terms. For all the terms in the file, create the formal definition if I can find reference to PO and PATO. If I don't find the term in PO and PATO, I don't create the term.
Okay.
I mean, until, yeah, for, so as I say, I mean, for the chemical compound, it doesn't fit the definition. For the diseases, does all the stresses doesn't fit the definition. And for the very complicated threats, also I need to the definition.
Right. I'm getting some echoing. Are you? I don't know if you can hear that or not. So ideally, maybe you'll have to make more, you know, run this through two filters or a couple of filters. So then, Marie-Angelique, tell me what you're doing with the output from this.
What I've done, an art file. So I created an ELF file, and that's the file that I opened here in Protégé.
Uh-huh. You created an ELF file. Okay.
And I put this file and I put that on GitHub.
Okay. And so it's in the cross-product folder, or?
Yes, it's on the cross-product folder, yeah.
Cross-product folder. Okay.
I just updated a few minutes before, so that's why people didn't notice. Yeah.
I'm not sure where all the echoing background noise is coming from, but maybe if you're not speaking right now, just mute your mic. Not necessarily you, but the other people on the call. Pankaj, were you trying to say something? Hello?
Yes, I do hear the echo, but I'm on mute.
Okay. Were you trying to say something as well? I was wondering.
No.
No, okay. So it almost sounds like it's coming from my computer here. I don't know how I can mute it and then it says mute audio. Okay. Well, we can probably live with it, I think. Okay, so I think this is really promising.
Yeah.
So Marie-Angelique, how do we deal with when we see issues though? You know, for example, caryopsis length and seed length really aren't equivalent. And so how do we address that?
That's probably because in the thread dictionary they use...
Right. They use seed for like chickpea or I mean, well, it's probably fine. What were the five again? Chickpea, lentil, groundnut. I was just writing them down.
Chickpea, lentil, rice.
Rice.
Cassava. Wheat. Soybean. Groundnut.
Okay.
Cowpea and pigeon pea.
Oh, so there's quite a few.
That's the file that we work on with Leo during the summer. So
This is Pankaj here. So I have a question. Did the seed length term in your crop ontologies, did it actually match to the seed length in the trait ontology?
Yeah, so that for now I didn't try to match the result of this to the threat ontology because I was wondering, do you want I try the same approach with the threat ontology and to create a kind of cross-products file?
I think that would be really useful.
I think that would be much simpler and easier to find all the mappings because there are constraints, there are species-specific constraints. For example, whatever people call it, grain length is not necessarily fruit length. Sometimes, depending on if the grain has been dehulled in rice versus not hulled, or brown rice versus a grain of a white rice versus a brown rice.
Right.
It's going to create a problem.
Well, there's two different things here. There's the mappings, and then this is the generation of the cross products for the CO ontologies. She's not trying. This is two separate tasks here.
Yeah, I think maybe you can if you can give a quick mapping also against the trade ontology, that would be fine.
She's also working on the mapping, but maybe we could just talk about this for a little bit so that we can kind of answer this question that I just asked, if you don't mind.
There's a possibility. Did the seed show up as a broad synonym of caryopsis or fruit or something like that?
That's what I was asking, like how we go about getting those things fixed in the vocabularies.
Yes, and because of that, because I've created an equivalent class, even if the terms were defined, I've brought synonyms or narrower synonyms.
So, Marie Angelique, I think, are you taking all the synonyms as equal or?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Or you just are looking for only exact synonyms?
No, I take all the synonyms.
Oh yeah. So
well,
it could be this exact synonyms only.
And this may actually, I mean, can we see where these things are from in this analysis?
Yeah.
Like one caryopsis length.
So I match everything to the concept. Yeah, but I was not. So the concept from PO that has a number 9001
is fruit, right?
Yeah, should
be. Yeah.
And so all the synonyms in fruit.
So you're using all the synonyms from the PO, right?
Yeah. So that would be better actually if the narrower synonym can be defined as separate classes.
Yeah. So my question is like on your. Can you scroll up again?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go back to pod length here. So if you click on pod length, that works too. So can you see from where, so in seed, well, actually, if you could go up to pod length, that might be easier.
So yeah, but that would be the same definition. Pod length.
It shouldn't be. Okay. So where is this definition coming from that's shown in the box here?
From the CO, from the crop ontology.
Right. And do you know which of the ontologies it is?
Should be able to know that, but yeah. Let me.
That's what I was kind of wondering, if we can tell where these are coming from in your analysis here.
So the...
Does it show in the...
Let me check. So which one? It's not cassava, it's not chickpea, it's not kopi, not lentil, not pigeon pea.
It may be from rice.
Yeah, maybe soybean, yeah, it's from soybean. From soybean. This one is from soybean.
Oh, I didn't have soybean. Okay, soybean, yeah. So let's just pod length. But in the place where you have the cross product of pod length is what I want to look at. I think it's above this or below it. Yeah, there.
Yeah.
Can we look at that again? So where you have, so this is saying that these are equivalent, right?
Yes, exactly.
So what I'm wondering is, can you tell from where the seed length in that equivalence statement comes from?
Yes.
Okay.
Seed length.
Oh, I see. So it's one term. Oh, and it shows it when you mouse over it. Okay.
Yeah. So I can see the COID, and I know that 340 is rice.
Okay. So that, can we go and look at the rice vocabulary, please?
Yeah.
I'm pointing at it with my
mouse. It's not rice.
It's...
I mean, I'm totally lost with the number. I should learn. So it's cowpea, pardon.
So if we look at cowpea.
Yes.
Can you search for seed length in there? If that works. I don't know if that'll work.
Because this ontology is not updated with the version of the file. The website is not updated yet.
Oh.
Why I don't find seed length.
So, and these 9 that you're using for this analysis, you have them in OWL. You're working with them in OWL. So, but they don't, okay, this answers my question because I was wondering if we could look at them on the CO website, and they're not on GitHub, right?
No, but I will put the Excel file on GitHub, so maybe it could be all the old files, the ones you prefer. I didn't work on transforming all the information that are on the Excel file in all in a all file.
Uh-huh.
Because yeah, I will need maybe some feedback from Chris or
yeah. Right, because so the curators work in the Excel file.
Yeah, that's
you know, yes. You know what would be really helpful, I think, to all of us is, especially for us that are not there in your workflow, is if you could create like just a little diagram of the pipeline that these go through. You know, so the curators work in the trait template, which is now version 5, right?
Yes.
Yes. And then how you get from there to, you know, the OWL file or the OBO file, or, and I know that there's various, it seems like there's various versions of them around in various yeah. places. So like just a Google Doc or something.
Okay.
So these, you know, when we were talking on the conference call on Thursday, you were saying that there was 12 of them that you and Leo or the team had been working on. And so basically that's 12 of them have been converted to the trait template version 5, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, but yeah. Not 12 actually. Now it's only 9 because
only 9. Okay.
Yeah.
So these are the 9 that you're listing here are the ones that have been converted to the trait template 5. And that version, just to refresh my memory, that version 5 has an additional field for the cross products, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the purpose of this, is to put these mappings or cross products in that file.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's great. So my question is when we see things like seed length in rice, which we know is wrong, how do we go about, you know, how do we go about getting that fixed? And I understand that, you know, there's curators on one end and we're on the other end, and one version is on GitHub, and just remind me in terms of the version that's on GitHub, how does that relate to the version that you're looking at right now?
They are different. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it just because, you know, Leo is on leave, so I don't know exactly which file, which are the last version of each file, which is the last version of each one. So I have to double check with him. But maybe it doesn't matter much. I mean, the changes, there won't be any much changes. So yeah, so I don't know. To propose changes, I don't know. Maybe I can have an OWL file or an OBO file, and we can use a tracker like for trait ontology or plant ontology.
Yeah, so there is a tracker associated with each of those repos, and that would be the ideal thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, it'd be really helpful to have the most recent version up on GitHub so we can all see it. Yeah. And I know we're kind of still working through getting this all sorted out, but I think we need to do some serious thinking about the workflow and, you know, how, because we don't want to be working on different versions and.
But yeah, and the repo, I mean, eventually the repo will be the repository for the most up-to-date version of all the crop ontologies.
Right. Yeah. And then ideally I would think that you could convert those to whatever format you need to display them on the crop ontology website.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe you could just, I mean, Pankaj, I don't know. Does that sound like a good idea to have kind of a overview of the pipeline and the, where these files are coming from and.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
And, I think it'd be very helpful.
And maybe what I would suggest is that I think this is showing a very promising result, Marie-Angele, excellent work. That we should create a dev version of an Amigo for her work, so that she can immediately see, or we can actually see. These ontologies as we move along with the latest version for review when we are meeting here, for example, even though crop ontology will take time. But for internally in the discussions, you may be able to see it in the browser online.
Yeah, I can talk with Justin about that.
Yeah, and one more thing, I don't know if it is being practiced or not, is even though the trait descriptor files or whatever we have from the crop ontology site, Maria Angelique, even if they are not mature enough or people are still working on it, I would recommend that whatever state they are on, they should go on the GitHub, SVN, any minor change, whether it is satisfactory or not satisfactory, we should do all the editing over there, right from scratch kind of thing. Let's say even if somebody is creating it for the first time, you create it and then all the edits happen on that file itself. So it's much easier to track and know where the files are and who's using what.
Yeah.
That can work out.
Yeah, so we're it's going to take probably a little time to work towards that, but we should start probably with the ones that we have up there, and then, you know, ideally all 9 of these should be up there.
So, okay.
How many terms are we looking at in this cross product?
Yeah, I don't know that. Maybe
about 100, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe 100.
So I would recommend that maybe the 3 of you can divide certain sections, like from somebody looks from A to B and then another one from E to whatever, and go quickly find out where the potential problems are. Otherwise, it might get a little difficult by looking at one by one every time.
Right, that's a good idea.
So divide the work, and it's just 100 terms, so then in that case, it'll be much easier.
Yeah, but then the question is, you know, we need a mechanism to fix them when we find them. So if we have those ontologies on GitHub, we can use the tracker there to flag them. But the key thing is we need to have the most up-to-date version up there, so.
Right, so the idea would be to at least before you start refining your cross-product workflow, maybe find out where the potential problems are, and maybe they are coming because of the reference ontologies or maybe coming from a crop ontology. We don't know yet. So that would give us a insight on where to start revising.
Yeah.
But I think that would be only a small handful of terms. Most of the terms map exactly as they are supposed to be.
Yeah.
So dividing the work would work, and actually it might take about 1 or 2 weeks, but it will get done.
And that, you know, and I'm not absolutely clear about the mechanism of getting things, fixing things, though, because does it have to go back to the curator?
Good.
Sorry? Austin, did you? I don't know what that was. Anyway.
Is that me? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, very clearly.
Oh.
Thank you.
Huh. Yeah, I've been trying to get it to work on my computer, but no luck. Sorry, I was just saying hi to Matt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's working fine. Yeah. Okay, so that sounds great. So, Marie-Angelique, let's kind of coordinate on that.
Okay.
Can we just look at the list again where the mapping or the cross-product mapping is? You just have to scroll down a little bit. Yeah. You know, we've been dealing with this issue with the grain versus seed for quite a while, and we've got it pretty well sorted out in the PO and almost sorted out in the TO. And so, you know, if we can sort of figure out where this is coming from in the crop ontologies, and then we can post tracker numbers, trackers there, open issue trackers there, and see if we can get those fixed. But it still comes back to my question of, so when we do find an issue that needs to be fixed, we can't, you know, we can't really edit the version that's on GitHub?
Yeah, I think you can use the tracker that is on GitHub, but I don't know if, I mean, if you, we have to think in terms of workflow also for the crop ontology
right
website. I mean, are we listen to GitHub to, you know, update what is on the crop ontology website.
That seems like a logical way to do it to me.
Yeah, but you know, technically, I mean, Luca left. I'm not really a technical person, so I don't know how to do that.
Oh,
so but maybe if I can discuss with Justin once he will.
Sure. So right. So Luca was the one that was converting the OBO files to the format to be displayed on your browser, right?
No, I was the one that was made the script, but Luca was the one would take care when some changes occurs and when, we need to, because if we have now to listen to GitHub and load the file from GitHub, I mean, it changes the way that we are working. Now we just go on the website and upload a new file, and then the file is uploaded.
So where is it uploading from, though?
Where
are those files stored that are uploaded to GitHub? I mean, to CropOntology.
Either they are stored in a Dropbox, and Leo just uploads a new version of the file. Either some, I don't know, people from USDA, for example, with soybean, they just go on the website, they have a login, and they just make the changes.
Right.
I mean, upload.
Like Rex's version of it. Yeah.
So we don't have the file in this case.
Yeah. So that's kind of a detail. I mean, whether it's on Dropbox or whether it's on GitHub, that's not really that important, I don't think. I mean, because the repos on GitHub, you can have on your computer. It's just like having it on Dropbox, really. It's just that everybody can see it.
Yeah, but if a changes is made on GitHub, I mean, I have to know that the changes have been made so I can upload the new version of the file. I mean, when I do it locally on my machine, I know that I made a modification, so I should upload a new version. But if it's on GitHub and, for example, you do the modification, I need to be sure that I know that you made the...
Right, and that's why you can watch those repos.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's sort of like Dropbox in a way. I mean, it's similar in a way. The nice thing is that everything is visible to everybody on the project. And, you know, I'm not saying we need to do this overnight, but I think in terms of, you know, in terms of working together on these things, and I think having the GitHub as our repository is really the best way to go.
Like,
I mean, it's just, these are details, and we can get together. Maybe we could have a meeting with Leo and Justin and you and I and Austin and whoever else wants to take part and just kind of hash out the details of this.
Yeah.
It's not an insurmountable obstacle, I don't think, in any way.
Yeah.
So, and I think the starting point to do that is to sort of build kind of a document that shows the workflow.
Okay.
Pipeline and where the different files live and so on, because that's still kind of a mystery to us, I think.
Okay. But can I put that on the Plantium Wiki or on the Wiki?
Sure. You can put it on the Wiki, or you can put it on GitHub, or
okay,
Dropbox, wherever you want. Put on Google Docs is where I would do it, but...
Okay, so if you prefer, I can...
Yeah, I just find Google Docs really easy, you know, and you can put links in there, and the Wiki is... Maybe once we have a final version, we could move it over to the Wiki.
Okay.
What do you think? And then in the meantime, we could kind of have we could create a working document and share it with the people that are interested, and I don't know, whatever works, whatever's easiest for you is fine with me.
Probably the same.
Yeah, I don't think this is a huge, you know, technical problem. We have people who can help us work through this. And, you know, the important things are that we all agree on is that, you know, transparency, and that we need to know what versions of files are where.
Yeah.
Because if we're running things like this analysis and we're making fixes and so on, then, you know, we just want to streamline things. So, yeah, I think this is really great. And I do actually think that we should talk about running this cross-product analysis on Trade Ontology, but I think we probably should involve Chris with that discussion, because I know he's done some of that in the past. And we have a cross-product file that I was looking at yesterday that's still on our SVN that we need to move over to GitHub. And Ramona and I were discussing it yesterday. And I think there may be a newer version of that somewhere. So okay. We were talking about that yesterday. I need to find that. I have to ask Chris about that.
Okay.
Because the one that's on our SVN is probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. So
okay, that's the one I use to get, you know, the pattern of the definition.
Oh, okay. So you've been using the one from, and I'm going to move that over to the Planetology repo.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, we can start updating it, because this would be really helpful to have in the, and then I think once these files each have the cross products, then mapping is going to be very simple.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we'll be mapping entity to entity and, you know, attribute to attribute and not these complicated terms.
And yeah, and we can even use get the hierarchy from Plio and Peyto to automatically, you know, sort all the threads.
Yeah.
For example, in this case, I didn't use any hierarchy. And you see that in the example of seed quality, apparently a thread in one of the ontology is seed quality, and you have all these those threads that are
listed as
listed as subclasses, even if I didn't say that. I mean, that's the reasoner used probably Peyto, because quality is the top concept of everything, sort of a root. Right. So column, for example, is a quality. So that's why he created this.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You know, we've got to tease apart this issue of the seeds and the Caryopsis, because they're different botanically and they're different in the Planetology. So.
Yeah. Okay. But so, that's probably, I probably made a mistake by taking all the synonyms, even the related synonyms and the narrow synonyms, and they're saying that if a thread belongs to a class or a term, I mean, it emits its equivalent. It's probably.
So you're talking about the synonyms from PO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, seed would not be a synonym of grain in PO. So that's not coming from PO. I think what the problem is that in some of the crop ontologies, I think and I don't know, but maybe in rice, you know, it's very easy to make that mistake and call things like rice seeds. Rice seeds are not, they're grains with the seed inside them.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. Botanically, it's distinct. And if, you know, we have to keep those straight if we're going to map between the PO and these, but we can work on these and we can get this straightened out. We need to make sure that we have the up-to-date version, and I need to fix this. I need to figure out this problem of why we, of the URLs. And yeah. I think I know how to fix that. I've got some information from Chris that we need to work on. We'll probably do that today. And then we can give you the URLs that you need for the load from. So, I think this is all good, and I think we just need to keep talking about this and working together on it. And
okay.
Yeah, and like Pankaj said, maybe it's a good idea we could split these into, you know. So is this file here, is this on GitHub now?
Yes.
It's in your cross-product folder, right?
Yes.
Your cross-product repo, yeah. So maybe Austin and I and you can take a look at this and...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, any other comments or anything? Or maybe we could look at the taxonomy thing now. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, this is the file that... So, this is a plant stress ontology.
Right.
That you asked me to... So, I open it in Protege. Mm-hmm. And when you want to add... an other ontology, you need to use this part of the first tab that is importing ontology, and say just that you want to import it.
Okay.
So it's really easy. You just have to click and say, oh, you are using a file or a URI. So, yeah.
So this is pointing though at the whole NCBI. This is a huge file.
Yeah, so I use the one on
the you got the slim one here. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's the one that Justin made, right?
Right, yep. That's okay. The one that's on GitHub. The taxonomy, NCBI taxon slim PDO. Yes, I'm sorry, Maria Angelique, I misread that.
Yeah. Okay. And then that's it. If you go there, you have all the everything from.
Okay. So taxonomic rank is coming from NCBI.
Yes, because you know, for each
right,
for each taxon, you have a rank, even if it's not translated. Ah, yeah. Look, so this Actinobacteria has a rank that is field. But I don't know why it's defined as an annotation property. It should be, for me, an object property, since phylum is a... But anyway, okay.
Okay, so this is helpful. This is very helpful. Could we navigate down, like, on the causal agent branch here at the top under thing? Yeah, and let's look at an actual biotic, like, say, one of the bacterial ones. Yeah, like Acidivorax, yeah. And see what we get there. So it shows the database cross reference to NCBI.
Yeah, but that's not really. You know, that's the problem. This is an annotation. Do you know the difference between an annotation property and an object property?
Not really, no.
Okay, so an object property is when you are linking to classes.
Okay.
So for example, let's say which one? For example, part of. So part of, you define this part of relationship as an object property because you link two classes. So two sources that have URIs. And for data type property, maybe annotation property, I'm missing. Yeah, I don't know. Annotation property are just some annotations that you want to add to the to extra information or meta information that you want to add to your class.
Okay, that's
right. You have data type property, and the data type property is just, for example, the label. Well, label can be annotation as well. But let's say that, I don't know, you want to say this class has been created at some date. So you're not linking a class to another class, but you're linking a class to a literal. So let's say a string or an integer or whatever is literal.
Could you repeat that? I missed that last sentence. So
So for an object property is between two classes, right. And for a data type property is between a classes and a literal. I don't know, a string or an integer or.
Oh right, a literal, yeah.
Literal. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and for annotation property, for me it was exactly the same. You can have only a class to a literal.
Right. Okay. So what we want to do is link the objects.
Yeah.
Like in our, if we look
so
at
so what you here. Yeah, you want to link this object, Acidovorax, to the Acidovorax here some
right.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, but imagine that
be down.
Okay, let's say this one. Yeah. And you want to make the link. So you have to create an object property, or maybe an...
I think and we need an object property, yeah.
Because you see the xref has been translated as an annotation property, and you cannot really use a reasoner if you are using annotation property. The reasoner only will use the object property most of the time.
Right, so we need all these properties there, yeah.
Yeah, so you need to go and you want to create an object property. I don't know.
So maybe like how is...
Causal agent of, for example. Uh-huh. Is that the one? Or as causal agent?
Uh-huh.
One of them can be...
those are the object properties between the pathogen and the disease.
So you have to, yeah, to create, so
you have
another,
to create
one.
Another one, yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know.
Like has taxonomic.
Has taxonomic.
Or has taxon or something. Or is. is Klaxon something? We can find
him. Okay. Just for the example.
Yeah.
So it takes, you read that. So is so then you have. Okay. So then you have several information that right. you can say about your property. So it can be transitive. For example, it's like a part of a subclass of. Right. So you can go from one to the other one. And
I don't think it wouldn't be transitive.
So it won't be transitive. It can be symmetric. It won't be transitive.
No, I don't think so. It's asymmetric, I think, because it's really only one direction. It's
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And it can be functional. Functional means that you will link to only one. You cannot, for example, your class cannot be linked to different taxons. So maybe it can be functional.
Could be functional, yeah. And what's inverse functional?
Inverse functional? Probably you say that you the one is, I mean, functional is one to many. No, one to many. And so you can say which part of the triple should be unique. Not very clear, but
are those required? Do we have to
specify? No, you don't have, but if you add those information, it's really helpful for the reasoner.
Right.
So if you know which type of object property it is, it's always better to
So we just need to think about those a little bit more. And
yeah, sure. So even part of it's not defined enough as transitive, but I think it should be
So, are the reason those aren't defined because that's a converted OBO file?
Well, that's you can set that in OBO too.
You can?
Yes.
Is that coming from the file, Marie-Angelique, or is that coming from your like configuration?
No. I'm using the old version of that is on GitHub. So yeah. I don't know how you are doing the transformation from OBO to OLL.
I think it's all tools.
Yes.
That's fine. Anyway, we can play with that a little bit more. But let's see how we would link these two.
Okay. So let's say that you want to link this one to this one, even if it just for the example, right. I won't say anything. So it's you just have to.
Completely right. Yeah.
So it depends. So now you can use subclasses, or you can use equivalent to. I prefer to define the class using equivalent to, but this one I'm not sure. But let's say you want to create this, you click here, and you can use on the say that you want to is taxon, and then you have to go so. Any of the bacteria, we don't mind. And then you have to find which one you want to link. Mm-hmm. Then that is this one. And that would create automatically the statement. So this class is now linked to this one.
But why is that listed under subclass of?
So because, you know, when you define classes in an ontology, you have different way to do it. So first, you can define the class of should I revise a little bit? You have necessary condition, sufficient and necessary condition. So if you have all the, so if you define a class saying that it's defined all the property of that class, and you can have only this property and not more and not less of this property. If you don't have all the property, you don't belong to the class.
Right.
So this is a necessary condition. So if you want to use that, you have to use equivalent to, but that's very strong way to, and a formal way to define a class, because maybe you didn't think that this class can have another property.
Right.
So if you're not sure that these are the necessary and sufficient condition, you can use subclass of instead.
Okay.
But for a reasoner, I mean, it's always, I prefer to say that, to define classes using necessary and sufficient condition. even if not maybe not the case, but I mean, in my ontology, this is.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so this is, yeah, related to the necessary and sufficient condition. So, yeah.
So what this is saying is that a sort of Rorak of NEA.
Sorry, can you is,
read? So I was just reading. So what this statement is making, what this relationship that we created, yeah, says that acidovorax of NEA is, yeah, from Candidus phytoplasma, which we know it isn't, but that's just an example.
Is a taxon,
yeah. And so we need to kind of think about maybe what relationship we want to create there.
Yeah.
Well, that would be useful for having a direct, if it does have a NCBI equivalent, we can put that in the equivalent to. But if it's missing the NCBI equivalency, we can have it be a subclass of whatever its parent is in NCBI. Right?
Yeah, you can also have that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to figure out how we're going to deal with ones that are not in NCBI, right?
Right. That's another issue, yeah.
So I think we can use the subclass of grouping and just link to the parent term, or link to the genus or the
whatever.
Yeah. That could work as well. But so you won't use a property to link them. So you just say that, for example, it's equivalent to this. So you see, you don't use any property.
Mm.
So there are different ways for defining the thing. Or you can, yeah, add subclasses. So either you want to make a restriction, so saying that maybe your threat, you know, is measured on some plant part. So if you say that, you need say, so okay, my threats is measured. So you can, if you can make a sentence of what you want to represent in your ontology, you have to create a property. But if you don't, if you just want to say this is equivalent to that, or this is a subclass of that, you can use directly, you don't need to create any property. You can just all definitions, that is, yeah, because all give you a set of properties. Find a set of properties. So equivalent to is a property that is defined in the old standard and also defined there. So
you said equivalent to is a property provided by
all?
By L.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the strict.
Yes,
it's you have to have all the necessary conditions to satisfy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the hierarchy, like abiotic agent is a causal agent. That's a subclass of?
Yeah. So you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a subclass of. And if you want to add another subclass of, because it can be a causal agent, but it can be, I don't know, an host plant, let's say. You can just add, you think that, using this feature in the interface.
Yeah. That one doesn't make much sense, but I get the idea.
Yeah. I agree. To show you the functionality of the tool. I mean,
take that away.
I'm not prepared. If you want, yeah. I can prepare.
So how does, so in our, in the import that we did with the taxonomic ranks, those are part of the NCBI taxonomy. Now, are those, if we click on like molecules here on the left-hand side, does that show what the taxonomic rank is? So if you scroll up, it's like that indent there. Oh, down. There.
Yeah.
So if we look at that one.
Yeah, it says.
So it has rank class. Okay, good.
But I don't know why the annotation, it's defined as an annotation property. For me, it would be better if it's as rank. Would be defined as an object property instead of an annotation property.
Is that something we can set?
Yeah, you can change that. So yeah, you can find this as rank. Where is that? Link.
Why are some in bold, you know? Excuse me.
So the one in bold are the ones that were defined in the main file.
Oh.
And the other are from the import.
Oh, okay.
Or the other way around. One of the one, yeah.
One near the other, okay. This is really helpful, a little overview here, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it probably is what you said, because has rank is probably coming from the taxonomy.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all the, yeah, all the.
And like these things, like the created by, creation date, those are all coming from our ontology.
Yeah.
And then the synonyms has OBO format. Yeah. Yeah, so that makes sense.
So yeah, Protégé is easy to use once you get the difference between, for example, object properties and different kinds of properties. And yeah, the difference between the necessary and sufficient condition and the other way to define a class.
Yeah.
But defining a class is different from linking. So, yeah.
Well, okay, good. I think this has been really helpful. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll play with this some more and talk some more about it. And I'm going to follow up on some of the things that we talked about the mappings and the cross products.
Okay.
In the next few days. So, yeah. I think we're getting down to we're actually past the end of the hour, but yeah. This has been.
You can also use Sparkle in Protégé. That's a new feature. So.
Oh, nice. So this is Protégé 5, yeah. And you're not having any problems with it. I will update mine.
I didn't, yeah. But I mean, I'm using a beta version, so.
Right. I think that's all they have for 5.
Right? Yeah, I think they're all betas.
Yeah. Well, 4.3 is not.
Well, yeah. I mean, 5. All 5s are. But I think there's been like 3 of them now.
Okay, I have 5.0.
Yeah.
I think there's a newer one. Don't quote me on that.
This one works, so I don't.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That one works. Just keep using it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. And I think maybe we should wrap up there.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or anything?
No, I just have a question about the movement, but it's a totally different subject.
That's okay.
Yeah, so it's about the money that we have to spend before the end of the year. You know, is the money that we have, so for the workshop, is everything is already covered? So if you want to invite people from the center, do we have to take this in charge, or this will be taken by the... I don't know.
This is Pankajay. So are we talking about in the workshop, that ontology workshop people that we are trying to put together in OSU or somewhere else?
Yeah. This one.
The OSU exactly. One?
Yeah.
Yeah, we will pay for the people.
So you have the budget for that?
Yes.
Okay. So the travel budget that we have...
Your travel budget is for going to the actual CGIAR center and working with them one-on-one.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. We will cover from, so everybody, I mean, what we are trying, I think what should be happening here is we all put together a list of people whom you want to invite. Especially the main curators of the major crops that we are looking at, and we can see how much we can extend.
Okay.
So let's work on that part and see how, let's get the number of people first and their names and their interests. And then we can find out how many we can support and how many we are looking for somewhere else.
Yeah.
If they have their own support, that is fantastic. If they don't, we may be able to cover full. And if they need some partial, we may be able to cover partial. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Okay, so first thing is to get, put together a list of names and people and their crop of interest from that side.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
And Marie-Angelique, I have already created a wiki page for the workshop, so you could actually put them on there if you want.
Okay.
And if you can't find it, I can send it to you.
Okay.
It's actually right on link to this page, so.
To this page?
Yeah, if you scroll down, there's not much there right now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and also try to find what could be the potential dates. Could be a week before Thanksgiving or.
Yeah, so you know, Pankaj, I actually worked on this a little bit. November is actually pretty bad in terms of having it in Corvallis.
No facilities?
Well, in terms of overlapping with the game days, November is like the big game month here. Uh-huh. Let me just look at my calendar. I've got a printout of it here.
Or December. What's the plan for December then?
Because there's three football games in Corvallis in November. Okay. One the week before Thanksgiving, one the week of Thanksgiving, and one the first week of November. So I think we need to talk about the possible dates a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is being worked on for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So I hadn't had a chance to talk with you about that yesterday, but I was.
No, I'm in. I'm kind of in and out.
Yeah.
For the week.
Okay. Okay, we can always talk on Skype or email or whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yep,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, I think we better wrap up.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Marie-Angelique, and we'll
thank you.
Email you and we'll talk again on Tuesday next week.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sounds good. Bye.